Praise the Lord. I want to continue on the theme of character, and I want to turn to Moses. Moses, that great man of God, shows us how character is developed. And that, of course, is so important because that is what God is looking for, character. And God formed Moses and passed him through certain circumstances whereby his character was developed. Now, the first thing that is very important to understand is this, that by a miraculous intervention of God, the daughter of Pharaoh adopted Moses as her son. And Moses, by virtue of that adoption, was given the privileges of the court of Egypt, and was indeed, we are told in the Acts of the Apostles, in Acts chapter 7, that indeed Moses was trained in all the wisdom and understanding of the Egyptians, and that he was mighty in words and deeds. And so here is a secular, shall I say, preparation that Moses had to have, because he had to govern eventually about 3 million people. And one of the things that you do learn, of course, in the seat of government is how to govern. And so Moses was prepared by God in the secular field. And this is something I think that is very important that all of us understand, that we must not despise secular work. We must not despise, that which is can be repetitious, because I have noticed that when you are led of the Spirit, even your secular work has deep meaning for your spiritual developments. And I myself, when I was in research, I have to acknowledge that that taught me many things that helped me tremendously in my spiritual life. And even at school, I happened to be in a school that, emphasized composition. Every Friday, we had to write a composition. And it was given to us on a Monday. We took it home with us to work on it for 5 days. Well, I was very fortunate to have a mother who was very good at composition. And so she would write it for me, and I had to memorize it. And virtually, there was a competition between a girl and myself as to which mother had written the best composition. But it taught me something. And later on in life, I've had to write books. But that early training taught me something, although I was oblivious of the fact at that time. And so these things are very important, that we pray even concerning our secular work. It is being used by God to develop our character. And then Moses, God arranged a situation that caused Moses to flee from the court of Egypt and go into the desert. Now, in the desert, he is employed by his father-in-law, for he marries one of the daughters of a prince there, Jethro. He is employed in looking after sheep. Now, again, you would think, why was a man who was trained in the courts of Egypt suddenly brought down to become a shepherd? Well, in Isaiah 53, we are called the sheep of his pasture, and we are called sheep in the sense that we have the same, failings as a sheep. Sheep, we are told in Isaiah 53, have a tendency of going astray. And I had a friend, a pastor, who was between pastorates. And he was a very good chef. And so he got employment at one of the top hotels in Seattle, Washington. And yet he felt from the Lord that he should have some pasture land and have sheep. And he said it was very interesting. You know, he had 17 sheep. And he would go home at night. And the first thing you do as a shepherd is to count the sheep. And sure enough, night after night, it would be in the same case. An old ewe, that is a sheep, a feminine sheep, old ewe, would have nuzzled under the wire netting and gotten out. And she would trot down the road and go into somebody else's field. And he said, you know, being a chef is very hard work. And being a top chef, indeed, made it very arduous for him because he had to survey and watch over many sous chefs, as we call them, or under chefs. You know, when he came home at night, he was dead tired. And he didn't really want to have any problems. He wanted to just sit in the chair, have his wife wait on him, and, you know, being comfortable and being comforted by his wife. But that sheep got away. And he said, night after night, he had to take a bicycle, you see, because that sheep would go he knew not where. And he had to go and search it out. And sure enough, he would find it. And the Lord started to talk to him. He said, you be very careful how you talk to that you, because you will upset her emotionally if you're firm. You've got to pat her. You've got to speak lovingly to her. And you've got to tell her how much you love her, you see. Well, he did this. And night after night, he tried with all he could do to make that fence sure. But somehow or other, that crafty ewe would slip out again. And sometimes she would make a hole big enough for others to slip out too. Well, Moses, you see, for 40 years, he was watching over sheep. Watching over sheep. And he must have had all those experiences too. Seeing the sheep wandering away. One of the great things of a shepherd is to be able to find the sheep that have strayed. And that, of course, was preparing him for his task in life. And one of the things that a shepherd has to do is to know his sheep, to be able to call them by name, and also to know the various vagaries of the characters of the sheep. And to make adjustments for them, allowances for them, and also still to have in one's heart a love for those sheep. You know, Jesus speaks of the good shepherd. The good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. So great is the bond of love and tenderness and care between a shepherd and the sheep, that a man is willing to lay down his life for those sheep. In fact, in some cases, when the sheep are put in their fold, of course there's a door. And the shepherd will sleep across that door so that any wild animal coming in to destroy the sheep must first cross the body of the shepherd, and possibly attack the shepherd, if not at least disturb the shepherd, so that he'll wake up and he will fight at that wild beast And David testifies to that. And he said to Saul, but thy servant fought a bear, and killed a bear. And you know, if you're at least cognizant with a little bit about bears, you know they're very dangerous. We were in Yellowstone Park, and you know, there were bears around. And we were feeding the bears. You know, it says a huge sign, don't feed them. But Americans, you know, aren't very good at reading. And here everybody was feeding the bears. Well, I think, if I remember correctly, that I was driving the car. It had stopped, of course. And my wife, of course, was in the co-pilot seat. And she was talking to me. And she could feel hot air coming down her neck. And she turned, and there was Bruno, his hands inside the door, you know, looking at her, wanting to get into the car to get at our biscuits and so forth. And here I'm trying to fumble with the key that doesn't go into the switch how I want it. And my wife, as cool as anything, said, oh, don't worry, dear, give me the biscuits. And she tossed a biscuit just past Bruno, but he could see it. And Bruno got out of the car and went to it. But that very night, some girls had gone camping, and they had gone camping in the wilds. And what had happened? Well, Bruno came along, or several Brunos, and they ripped them to pieces and killed all six. And so you see, when David killed a bear, it was no little thing. And then not only that, he killed a lion. And a lion is the strongest of all beasts. I mean, you get it, get an arm in a lion's jaw and he snaps it right off. No beast will tackle a lion. He's really the king of the jungle. And yet David, to save his sheep, fought that lion. Got him by the beard and killed him. So you see, a shepherd would do almost anything for the sheep. And also he has to care for the sheep. You know, they get into thorns, and here he has to pluck out the thorns one by one and pour in the oil and the wine, sometimes not into the mouth but onto the skin. You know, he has to be a doctor to those sheep. There is such a bond between the shepherd and the sheep, the good shepherd and the sheep. Well, Moses is having this developed in his life. And then after 40 years, you see there's the burning bush experience whereby God meets Moses, commissions Moses, and sends him down to meet Pharaoh. And now Moses is representing the sheep nation, if I could say this, of God, Israel, and he's facing Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was a murderer. And there's something about murderers that I think we should understand at this point. You see, he had given an order, or rather his father had, and he was carrying it out too, of genocide, killing the male babies of Israel. But there's something in life that we should understand. You know, if we put our foot in a certain pathway and start to walk along that pathway, it becomes addictive. It becomes addictive in the right sense. If you put your feet in the pathway of learning, you have an ever-increasing desire to learn. But you know, if you put your feet, as some of the leaders of nations in the past have done so, put your feet in the pathway of murder, there is no stopping you. And so, it was the same with Joseph Stalin. You know, it is said that he did not sleep well unless he had ordered the execution of numerous people. And here at the end of his life, we find his daughter sitting by the bedside and also some of the dignitaries of the Communist Party at that time. And the testimony of the daughter was this, that at times Joseph Stalin would rise up, as it were, from his bed and shake his fist. He was shaking his fist with fear because his eyes were opened and he could see the tormentors waiting for him. Joseph Stalin's daughter said, "You know, a wicked man does not have a nice death." Well, once one has walked on that path of murder, one is not afraid to spill more blood. And here was Pharaoh, you see, with absolute authority. And here was Moses, not afraid to stand before that murderer and declare the message of God, "Let my son go free that he may worship me." Contemptuously, you know, Pharaoh responded, "Who is the Lord? I know him not." But after many plagues, Pharaoh cried out to Moses, "I implore you to implore the Lord that he take these plagues from us." But now Moses had perhaps a far greater situation before him, because he has to lead about 3 million men, women and children into that desert, across the Red Sea and into that desert. You know, God has developed his character such that there is a wonderful bond between Moses and the children of Israel. Such at times when God was seemingly frustrated and in his righteousness must indeed determine to kill and slay those children for their disobedience, Moses could stand up and plead for the flock. You know, Moses had such admirable qualities. Wisdom, of course, was developed in the court of Egypt. But tenderness and affection was developed in that wilderness. And also, as we're told in the Song of Songs, chapter 3 and verse 5, that two other qualities are developed there: faith and meekness. And that is one of the qualities, you see, that is so necessary in leadership: meekness. Because situations are going to arise where you must not react as a leader. You must not react. To react is going to bring disaster. And one of the qualities, you see, that Moses exuded above all others, we're told, is meekness. He was the meekest man in all the earth. And why was meekness so necessary to have been developed in the life of Moses? Well, it was this. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 12, and it also found in Numbers, where he cried out to God and he said, "Have I birthed these people that you say to me, lead and guide them?" And he cries out to God and he says, "Oh, the strife." He said, "I'm cumbered with their strife." You know, strife is developed because two wills clash. The children of Israel were not people that when there was difficulties went to God in prayer. But they complained and they complained to Moses. And in one occasion, Moses cried out to God. He said, "How can I bear it? He said, they're weeping before me and crying out to me for flesh. How can I give flesh to this people? You see, Moses carried great burdens, and in leadership, you carry tremendous burdens. The whole of the problems, if I could say this, and responsibility for that nation of Israel was on the shoulders of Moses. Well, God said, look, I'll come down, get 70 men, well chosen, and I'll come down and put some of your spirit upon them that they can carry it with them. And how important it is in our leadership to have by your side those who can also carry the burden. Also carry the burden. And some of these things you have to learn, because in later years some of you will have responsibility of leadership. And I have found in my life that when certain problems come, I am directed either to Moses or David or one of the other leaders, and they have had similar but far greater problems of like kind. And how did they deal with them? Well, Moses simply cried out to God. He said, it's too much for me. And God gave him 70 elders. But in a sense, God will not permit us to have things that are too great for us. So we have a man who has a tender, loving care for his sheep. He said at one time, you know, oh, forgive them. And if not, blot my name out of the book of life. Moses was willing to sacrifice the glories of heaven for the untold terrors of hell because of his love for God's people. And so you see, here are certain qualities that have been formed. Wisdom. Yes, he knew how to govern. He knew how to govern 3 million men. How did he do it? He broke it up into tens, then hundreds, then thousands, and appointed men over them to deal with the day-to-day problems. And then if it was too much, they brought it to the one who was responsible for the hundreds, the captain. And then the thousands, perhaps the colonel level. And then they had heads of the tribes. And then if it was too great for them, they brought it to Moses. He knew how to govern. He certainly knew how to govern. And then, you see, the other thing that was developed was a deep love for the people. God had to have someone who would stand in the gap and plead with him. Because at the bar of righteousness, God had to act. The rebelliousness of the people, the sinfulness of the people, God before the bar of justice could not overlook it. But he had someone who pleaded with him and was offering his very life to save those people. And God could therefore turn away his wrath. He stood and interceded for those people through love. And then he had to deal with these people. Their strife, their weeping, their complaining, their murmuring, their criticism. And he must not react. He must not react. He must not react. One of the things in leadership you understand is this, that when a situation comes, and it obviously affects you, it obviously affects you, you have to wait until everything is calm, and then you have to look to God and say, Lord, how would you handle this? But there's another aspect of Moses, well, several, that I want to quickly mention. And that is this, the children of Israel and Moses were different. The children of Israel saw the miracles, but Moses knew the ways of God. And that in leadership you have to do. You have to know God's ways. And how do you find out God's ways? Well, the psalmist tells us that his ways are in the sanctuary. It is as you study the Word of God, the tabernacle of Moses, that you come to understand God's ways, how God deals with situations, and what is God's ultimate vision. For Moses, it was to bring them to Mount Zion, although he did not. But that was his vision. And then something else that is very important indeed in leadership. And that is found in Hebrews, where the Apostle Paul, writing about Moses, says this: "And Moses was faithful in all his house." You know, that's what God wants, faithfulness. Irrespective of situations, irrespective of pressures from people or, as I said, situations, you do not lower the boom, you do not change the standards of God, you stand upright. You are faithful. You are faithful to God in every situation. And, you know, often you get people saying, "Look, if you will change the standards, if you will make it easier, we'll join you." And what did Jesus say? In John 6, having said, "You must drink of my blood, eat of my flesh," they said, "It's a hard saying." And they started to leave him. And what did Jesus say to his disciples? "You're going to leave me too?" Jesus came to do the will of his Father. He was faithful in all his house, like unto Moses. And so there we have the qualities of character that are so important in leadership. And these qualities have to be worked out in situations that God creates. And so in the situations that we find ourselves, "Lord, what are you teaching me in this situation? What are you seeking to form in me?" Because after all, when I said a number of years ago to the Lord, I had the vision of him in hell and the walking through hell and the sadness on his face, I said, "Why did you create the earth and people knowing beforehand the cost and sadness it would be to you?" And then I was taken up, as it were, to heaven, to the throne of God. And there I saw a glorious company of people just like Jesus. And he said, for that reason, it was worth it. You see, we have to look beyond our life here. We have to see that in this short space of time, perhaps 70 years, or if we, by reason of strength, yes, perhaps 80 or so. But what is it all about? It is seeking to form character in us. And all these situations are, if I could say, this ancillary to the great purpose. The great purpose is to form character in our lives, whereby we will stand for that which is true, we would obey God at all cases, and also that we don't fail, because Moses, his strongest point was meekness, and so often we are tested on our strongest point. And they provoked his spirit, and because of it he could not enter the promised land. But thank God he did so in the Mount of Transfiguration. And of course we know that he's one of the two witnesses that come back in the end times according to Revelation chapter 11. He made it. But there we are. Wisdom, meekness, so important. A deep love for God's people. And putting his people before ourselves. And then, finally, if I could say this, knowing the ways of God, understanding God, and then faithfulness. And may God grant that we, through this study of Moses' life, short though it has been, may we grasp the importance of those virtues that made Moses what he was, a type of the Good Shepherd. And may God grant that when our turn comes, you know, to have responsibility, we will have the heart of a Good Shepherd. God bless you.